Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for attending tonight's meeting for Orrville City Council. This evening, before our regular meeting, we'll be having a public hearing on ordinance E-19. And any of you that have not heard what ordinance E-19 is, that's for the planning and zoning code, the changes for that. So first of all, anyone that plans on speaking, I need to have you stand and be sworn in for that meeting this evening.
You can speak.
Okay. Everyone, if you would raise your right hand, please. I, state your name.
I,
do affirm to tell the truth during this zoning meeting for a public hearing. Starting with staff members, please state your name and address for the record.
Stephen Wheeler, City of Orrville.
Thank you.
Paul Tepedeca, Bergemeyer Design Group.
Thank
John
you.
John Whitmer, Bergemeyer Design Group.
Okay.
Kristen Enzi, City of Orrville.
Okay, thank you. Okay, this evening we are discussing for a public hearing an ordinance amending Part 11 of the Planning and Zoning Code of Codified Ordinances of the City of Orrville, Ohio. Later on this meeting, we will be put that on second reading, but first of all, does anyone have any comment they would like to make now? Yes, ma'am.
We would just like Pogemeyer Design Group to do a short presentation.
Okay.
For council.
All right, we'll do that presentation. That way, if that raises any questions, that will help too, instead of doing it after.
Sure.
Okay, so we'll go ahead and have that presentation now from Pogemeyer.
Hold it down a little.
There we go.
Is that the lights you want off? Yeah.
Technical glitch.
Yeah.
So there's a front from Karen's side, from the beginning there.
Fine, thank you very much. Paul Tepanica from Pogemeyer Design Group. Glad to be here tonight. We're here to give a presentation on the update of the city's zoning code and subdivision regulations. Back in 2012, the city updated its comprehensive plan. One of the recommendations from the plan was for the city to address or to take a look at its land use regulations, zoning and subdivision regulations, and to consider updating them. So that's in fact what the city actually did. And in 2018, they retained our firm to help them update the subdivision regulations and the zoning code. To do this, the city appointed an 8-member committee to work with us, and the committee was made up of representatives from the administration, plan commission, city council, and also the mayor was included. So we started in April 2018, and we just about finished in July, August of this year. It was a long, drawn-out process. We met 10 times. We got to know each other pretty intimately after a year and a half, just about. Some of the issues and concerns with your existing zoning code, it was really tough to find anything in there. It was disjointed. It had no table of contents. And thank God for Karen Flinner here, who knows the code backwards and forwards. She could find anything and everything. So we needed to address that, also formatting of the code. We also kind of beefed up the authorization using the Ohio Revised Code. We updated the definitions, added some new definitions for new land uses that have occurred. And we also included some tables and graphics and illustrations so it's easier to read. I don't know if you've seen other zoning codes. If it's usually text and you can fall asleep real easy. Subdivision regulations, similarly, they needed formatting. Also, some of the technical manuals that it referenced were kind of old, so we kind of brought those up to date. The flow charts that were there were hard to read, so we revamped all the flow charts, made some references to the Ohio Revised Code, and we differentiated the difference between minor subdivision regulations, major, and large lot. Again, to go with your charter and also with the Ohio Revised Code. Some of the highlights for the code, I'm going to have John Whitmer review those for you.
Good evening. My name is John Whitmer, also with the Pogemeyer Design Group. And I'm going to introduce the highlights of the changes to the zoning code. First of all, changes were made to minimize creation of non-conforming uses. What you don't want to happen when you go through changing zoning is to make a lot of existing land uses like commercial or industrial non-conforming uses. That's a burden to the owners. You avoid that if at all possible. As Paul mentioned, a table of contents were added, and not only the chapters, but all the subsections underneath this are easier to find things. The code has been reformatted for a better appearance, easier references, and consistency. Tables, illustrations, and graphics have been added. We'll see a few graphics in a moment, but the tables, the land uses have been all changed from text into a table, a matrix of land uses. Also, the yard setbacks, area heights, things like that are also all now in a table instead of a text. New updated definitions have been included. Every use that's mentioned in the use table now has a definition that goes with it. There were some that were missing, and so that makes it easier to identify uses. The R3 residential zoning district has been eliminated since it mirrored the R2 district. It was almost identical in lot size, and everything else was the same for those two districts. And the land use plan that was done in 2012 recommended that those two districts be joined together, so we accomplished that in the zoning update. Similarly, the C4 highway service district was also eliminated. The uses are now included in the C3. Intensive commercial district, that also was a recommendation of the 2012 land use plan. Very small, only a couple of several parcels for zone C4, and the land use plan, Rich has recommended, that really did not accomplish a lot and should be folded into the C3, and that's been done. The adult entertainment chapter has been shortened and revamped. It was a very long chapter, and I was a bit overkill for the size of Oroville, but it still retains the same distance requirements, the same basic land use regulations, but it has been shortened. A new overlay district was created, Chapter 1103, titled the North Main Street Overlay District, for the area north of the Central Business District. This will allow for flex uses in commercial and industrial buildings located within the overlay. The menu of uses will be from the C3 intensive commercial and the I-1 and I-2 heavy industrial zoning districts. This was a recommendation out of the land use plan in 2012 that some of the commercial uses along the North Main Street were vacant and would probably benefit from being able to be a flex use between either industrial or commercial. And so we're hoping this will be one more tool that you can use in economic development to allow owners to have flexibility in how they use their buildings, but also if it's vacant, to perhaps get a light industrial or warehousing use into a vacant commercial structure. A new chapter 1111, environmental protections added. This combines the various environmental regulations in the code into one chapter. The parking requirements in chapter 1112 and access have been modified and updated, and generally reducing the number of required spaces for commercial uses. Stays the same for residential. Some intense uses like restaurants stay the same, but your general retail was taken down to about one third. And a new chapter 1114, architectural design standards, been added to guide and promote more aesthetically pleasing exterior slot changes for commercial districts, non-residential uses in residential districts, and for the new uses along Main Street Overlay District. And give you some examples. Facades offset so that you don't have just a solid blank wall that has to have some offsets, and a certain percentage of windows, front entrance. And the graphic on the right, buildings in general need to have a base, a body, which is where the windows would be, and then a cap or a cornice. So to add some architectural interest to a building. If you have a long line of a shopping center, individual buildings and individual storefronts need to have sort of a self-identity. Massive roof types sort of discourage, and in the center and then on the right, HVAC systems, when they're on the roof, need to be hidden so that they're not in a view from, say, the public right of way. Okay, it's just not dictating a type of architectural style, but some general rules of thumb that are been used quite extensively around the country when you want to have more than just a blank walls. Some other highlights to the sign code, and we'll turn that back to Paul.
We spent a lot of time with the sign code in the Act. A couple reasons. One is, with new technology, a lot of the LED signs have become more sophisticated and a lot cheaper. So a lot of businesses are using those signs. You look at the message centers. A lot of churches and schools are using them, so you need to allow them. So we're allowing them for institutional uses in residential areas, and we're also allowing them in commercial and industrial areas. But you can dictate, you know, some parameters as to brightness and intensity and things like that. The other is, in 2015, there was a Supreme Court case involving temporary signs in Gilbert, Arizona. It involved a church that did not have a set building, so they had to put signs up to where they were going to be that weekend. And the city had requirements as to how long those, or previously, before the actual event took place, signs could go up only at a certain time prior to, and they had to be removed almost immediately afterwards. Well, the reverend and the folks weren't able to do that, so they got fined continuously, to the point that he got frustrated, so he sued the city. Of course, the city came back and, you know, fought, and went all the way through appeals to the Supreme Court. And shock of all shocks, the Supreme Court came back on the side of the church. So now, temporary signs, what we have suggested is they be controlled for an event or condition, and really not necessarily put restrictions as to for real estate signs so many days, for political signs so many days, so it's more generic. The other is free speech. If I had, I could put a sign on my yard, and so long as it isn't obnoxious, I could have that sign in my yard, so long as it's not in the public right of way. City can control the size, the square footage, and the placement in the structure. But as far as content, it cannot. So that's kind of why we spend a lot of time with the sign code. And also, there's a proliferation of different kinds of signs. Banner signs, feather signs, snipe signs, you know, where people just kind of staple pieces of paper on poles, which is, you know, nobody likes them, but they're up there. Human signs, Liberty Tax, where people are dressed as the Statue of Liberty, and they're out there with a sign. Those are legit signs. Signs of trucks, and you know, people move the trucks, so that's an issue. But those can be regulated. And so actually, we actually took a look at that and made all the recommendations and the changes. Now we'll talk about the chapter 1116.
Yeah. A new chapter, 1116, development review procedures have been added that combines all review procedures in one place. Review procedures are scattered throughout the entire code. Before, we gathered that all into one chapter so that an applicant or the zoning commission or a board of zoning appeals can look at one place and see, also the design review board, what the procedures are to follow. Also, we did an introduction, which is new to your zoning code in the chapter 1116, that sets out the actual steps and of how a hearing or a meeting should be conducted, so that that will be consistent and in compliance with the Ohio Revised Code. Because if you ever slip up, that's always an opportunity for the applicant to say, you didn't follow a procedure, I can take it to court and have it it overturned. So procedures are extremely important when you do the zoning code. Everything is very specified, and having it one place and with an introduction, sort of a crib sheet of how to conduct meetings, I think would be helpful for all the administrative bodies that are underneath the zoning code.
Well, I'll talk about the subdivision regulations. Again, we added a table of contents, subdivision regs, updated terminology, got rid of some of the old terms, added a purpose statement, again, to correspond with the Ohio Revised Code, and we updated the technical manuals that made reference. So looking at the Ohio Department of Transportation, some of the technical manuals for roadways and underground utilities, also ODNR, soil and water conservation. As well. Again, we were specific in defining the differences between the minor subdivision, major and large lot subdivision regulations and how they correspond with the Ohio Revised Code. We added some new tables and graphs for their rainfall intensity. The one that was used was back in the 1950s, so we updated that with the new ODOT requirements. And then we upgraded the flow charge It kind of shows people, you know, the process to get your plat reviewed and approved. In a nutshell, those were the changes. As I said, it was a long, deliberate process, and I have to commend the committee for working with us. They stuck with us, and I think you can have a good code that is going to be user-friendly, and we will provide the appropriate copies, so it will probably be on the website as well. Does anybody have any questions?
The regular meeting of Orrville City Council to order. This evening will be led in prayer by Pastor Mike Bone from Christ United Church of Christ. Would you stand with me, please?
Gracious God, we know that all authority comes from you. We recognize that these who are gathered in this room have a sacred stewardship in caring for the details of governance for this community. We ask that you would bless them with wisdom and insight. Grant them a sense of ease in sharing exactly what needs to be said, so that all that is done would be done in an orderly and effective way. We ask your grace upon this meeting and upon all who live in Orrville as we work together for the beloved community. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Pastor. Everyone will need to have a roll call now.
Shu.
Here.
Wilson.
Excuse me.
Aspiris Jr.
Here.
Hampshire.
No, Aspiris.
Aspiris Sr.
Wait a minute.
Here.
Portman.
Here.
Larson.
Here.
Okay. Did we catch everybody correctly?
Yes.
Okay. I thought I misspoke there for a minute. I got stared at. Everyone should have received a copy of the regular minutes from our last meeting on October 21st. Are there any additions or corrections to those minutes? Yes, sir.
I move we approve them as posted.
Thank you. Second, Mr. Larson.
Aspiris Jr.?
Yes.
Aspiris Sr.?
Yes.
Corfman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yep.
Thank you. We have no public comments scheduled for this evening. We'll move to our standing committee reports. Finance, Mr. Espiris.
Thank you, Mr. President. At the last council meeting, I did review the 2020 temporary appropriations calendar and made a motion to accept that calendar. And did mention that it would be up for first reading tonight, which it is. It's Resolution 4819. It pretty much shadows the budget that we went over in June, July timeframe, and I'm sure Ms. Strumlin will have a few more words to say about it. Other than that, that's all I have, Mr. President. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll move to utilities. Mr. Corfman.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have no report.
Thank you. Health and safety, Mr. Spears.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just have a couple things I'd like to share. Two issues. The first one, just a little background. It goes all the way back to a meeting in January of 2018, the most recent meeting, November 6th of this year. And that concerns replacing fire engine 68. That meeting on November 6th took place at Fire Station 1. That included myself, Mr. Wheeler, Chief Bishop, Assistant Chief Valentine, and also Councilman-elect Mr. Mosley. We spoke about where we were at in that process. Again, that was, at least on my end, started back in January of 2018. So, long process. At this point, we're still gathering information, but at some point, hopefully here in the soon near future, we'll have a committee meeting to kind of discuss where we're at. Right now, just kind of gathering information, gathering quotes, that sort of thing. The second issue, which is a little bit more pressing, is the unit for compressed air went down last week of October. That's the unit that the fire department uses to fill their breathing tanks, and so that is definitely in need of repair and replacement. It's been determined we can't repair, so it will have to be replacement. Again, at this point, gathering information and quotes, and I believe Mr. Wheeler can correct me if I'm wrong, but we might have something here at our December 2nd meeting as far as legislation to kind of get that ball rolling.
Correct, sir.
Yeah. Other than that, that's all I have for tonight.
That's for the SCBA units?
Correct. Okay. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Right now, they're not able to fill our tanks on our own, so we actually have to go out for service. That actually the only closest service is in Worcester, so it's kind of critical that we have one on site.
Okay. We also provide service to surrounding communities as well.
Oh, okay.
So with our unit down, it's kind of hindering our neighbors as well.
Sure.
Any other questions? Thank you. We'll move to transportation. Mr. Shoup.
Thank you, Mr. President. Transportation has no report tonight, but I'm hoping Mr. Wheeler can update us on the paving project. So
yes, sir.
I'll let him speak to that when it's his turn. Thank you.
Mr. Hampshire is excused this evening. We'll move to ordinance and personnel. Mr. Larson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Ordinance and personnel has no issues before it. We have not met, and I have no reports.
Thank you. We have no special committee reports tonight. The mayor is excused this evening, so we'll move to our safety service director, Mr. Wheeler.
Thank you, Mr. President. I actually do have a couple things from the mayor as well that he's asked me to pass on. First is our November Employee of the Month is Police Officer Corey Shane. Corey Shane was sworn in as a full-time police officer on June 4th, 2012. Since joining the department, he has filled many key roles. He is our field training officer and a member of the investigative unit, as well as the special response team. Corey has earned numerous awards throughout his career, and in 2017 was nominated and selected as the Orville Police Department Officer of the Year. Also, one of my favorite days of the year is coming up in a couple weeks, Mayor Hainberg's 2019 Christmas Cookie Contest. Have been scheduled for Wednesday, December 4th. Are you a Christmas cookie maker? Enter the annual Mayor's Christmas Cookie Contest. If you would like to participate, please deliver one dozen cookies to the Mayor's office here at City Hall by noon on Wednesday, December 4th. Cookies will be judged and scored later that afternoon. Scoring will be both on appearance and taste. The cookie with the highest composite score wins. The winner will need to return for a photo and prize presentation. All cookie submissions must be submitted on a non-returnable tray and contain the following: your name, address, and phone number, complete and accurate cookie recipe, one dozen cookies delivered to the mayor's office before noon
on Wednesday, December 4th, 2019. Only cookies meeting the above criteria will be judged. And last year's winner was Beth Jones with her Snow Globe sugar cookies. And as one of the judges, I can attest it's a tough job and someone has to do it. And finally, on to some of the happenings here as far as the service department. Our lead pickup continues on schedule. They have moved to the north end of Market and will be on that side through November 27th. They will then start back to the south end and do a final pass through throughout the city from December 2nd through December 13th. Rails the Trails project continues. The retaining wall was completed on Main Street. You may have noticed that. That's in front of the Quality Casting parking lot. They will start pouring concrete tomorrow for the sidewalks and paths, and this project should be completed in the next couple weeks. Finally, you may have noticed the High Street. The intermediate was completed today. They will begin final layers tomorrow and hope to have it finished by Wednesday. The weather has really been good to us the last couple of days, so we appreciate Mother Nature working with us on that as well. The fabric was laid as well today. There's a small portion to do with that, so as they're doing the final layer, they'll finish up on the east end of High on the fabric. Glad to answer your questions. The temperatures on the mix has been fantastic so far. Dan's been pleased. The surface temperatures have been great as well. I hate to jinx us, but it's went about as good as it could over the last week or so.
One question, Mr.
President. Yes, sir.
You spoke of the fabric. The fabric goes between the base coat and the top layer coat, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I think a lot of people around town thought it was going to go on the concrete.
Oh no.
I had some people asking that the fabric didn't go down, and I said, well, I think it goes between the two layers.
Yes, sir, that's correct. I probably didn't explain that very well before, yes. But that is correct.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
We'll move to our utilities director, Mr. Brediger.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a couple of utility notes. Last week's Public Utilities Board meeting, the board did approve to continue the power cost adjustment factor freeze. That keeps our same rate structure in place since September of 2016. If our projections fall in line, we should be able to sustain that through the balance of this year. Based on our projections, it should be pretty stable for 2020. However, we are expecting some pretty significant transmission fee increases in 2021. So the board will be looking at some options on how to possibly transition into that. Our transmission fees for next year, which have been some of the biggest drivers in those rates, as well as the offsets that the power plant generates during those peak times, has benefited us and worked in our favor. But in 2021, that difference between those fees and those credits have the impact of increasing our expenses close to $3 million. So we'll be exploring those once we take a look at those 2021 estimated transmission fees that we do not have any control over. A little bit later on this year and going into the first quarter of next year. The power plant did receive a temporary operating permit. We have been working on the power plant's operating permit, which is pretty much the equivalent of a driver's license, for the past 2 years. That was received a couple weeks ago by Ohio EPA. It's in a 30-day comment period. Right now, assuming there aren't any comments, it'll go to the federal EPA's office for its last round of scrutiny. And bearing no surprises, unlike our last Title V permit that resulted in a lot of indigestion, I do expect to eat a lot less Tums for the next 5 years. And this permit is good for a five-year period. I'll speak to a few comments concerning the resolution that's on the agenda tonight. But that's all the comments I have tonight, Mr. President.
Thank you. Any questions? Okay, we'll move to our finance director, Ms. Strimmel.
Thank you, Mr. President. The only item I have this evening is the fund balance report for the period ending October 31st, 2019. As you can see, the fund balance is due, all remains strong. And I just would ask for a motion to approve this report subject to audit.
Yes, sir.
I approve the report subject to audit.
You all need a second.
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Spears.
Ms. Spears, Sr.?
Yes.
Corfman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Chu?
Yes.
Ms. Spears, Jr.?
Yes.
Thank you. We'll now move to our law director, Mrs. Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have no report this evening.
Thank you. I have no report for this evening, so we'll move to old business. Mr. Larson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Ordinance E-19, I move this ordinance be placed on second reading.
Second, Mr. Corfman.
Corfman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Ms. Spears Jr.?
Yes.
Ms. Spears Sr.?
Yes. Ordinance E-19, an ordinance amending Part 11, Planning and Zoning Code of the Codified Ordinances of the City of Orrville, Ohio.
Thank you. Anyone have any comments this evening? We heard of this last week. It must go for one more reading. We'll move to new business.
Resolution 4719. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second, Mr. Corfman.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Ms. Spears Jr.?
Yes.
Ms. Spears Sr.?
Yes.
Corfman?
Yes.
Resolution 4719. A resolution authorizing the Public Utilities Board of Control to enter into contracts without bidding, each for a one-year period, for various services and supplies required by the Department of Public Utilities, Orrville, Ohio, for year 2020.
Yes, sir.
And this ordinance is about as bland, ordinary, and common as we do every year. The only thing, further explanation, without bidding, that they are competitively quoted, and we're going to run into this problem a couple more times tonight. We cannot pass it tonight. There is no, this is just a normal,
right,
everyday, annual supply ordinance. Unless...
Yeah, that is correct. There's only a couple items on here that are changes from last year. One of them is just an expansion. Item F, we added under the purchase and repair of transformers, voltage regulators, we added and related switchgear. This would include our large high voltage circuit breakers and relay protective systems. They've always been under that umbrella before, but we just expanded that definition on there. And the last item, item S, is a new item to this annual resolution. And these services and equipment are mainly connected to the power plant, wastewater treatment plant, and water plant utility control systems. We work with a system integrator to provide contract services, backup, emergency, and some field service on a retainer basis. We do have some upgrades, both in the hardware and software departments, that will be occurring over the next couple of years, and these expenses are expected to be in that close to that $100,000 range. So we decided to include those on this resolution. They've always been on our board resolution in years in the past. So other than those two minor exceptions, again, this is one of our annual ordinances, and as Mr. Corbin mentioned, there is no sense of urgency on this. We'll have this in place before the end of the year, and I'll answer any other questions that you might have on that.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. Berger, can you just kind of summarize the age of our control systems in the three utilities? I'm trying to remember. I think we just had one. The latest was in the wastewater
Well, they are all in different phases of life cycle.
Okay.
We did a major controls upgrade, and don't hold me to these dates, but roughly 3-4 years ago in the power plant, as you mentioned, the wastewater treatment plant was a couple years or so ago. Okay. We'll have some needs coming up in the water plant. We have those systems set up, so they're kind of staggered over the course of the year. But when depending on hardware and software upgrades, those run in about 4 to 5 year life cycles. They're kind of like our computer network systems that technology just starts passing them by. Now, we do have two instrument control technicians that handle all of our day-to-day business there. But if we get into anything out of ordinary or things go bump in the middle of the night, we have our this firm on the retainer that serves all three utilities.
Okay. So the age of the controls at this point in time, we don't have to worry about obsolescence.
No, it's really not controls. The devices themselves, the transmitters, things along that line, that equipment can last 15, 20 years.
Right.
But this is mainly the computer systems, computer network systems, and the software that drives, the proprietary software that drives them, not necessarily the control system in its entirety. This is pretty much the control room related gear, if that helps clarify that anymore.
Thank you.
Cool.
Anyone else? Thank you, Mr. Brediger.
You're welcome.
Resolution 4819, I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second, Mr. Spears.
Chu?
Yes.
Spears Jr.?
Yes.
Spears Sr.?
Yes.
Korfman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes. Resolution 4819, a resolution to make appropriations for current expenses and other expenditures of the City of Oroville, State of Ohio, during the fiscal year ending December 31st, 2020, and declaring an emergency.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Mr. President. Total appropriations are $59 million. $9 million has been allocated for the general fund, $6 million for the remaining tax-supported funds, and $44 million for the utilities. The legislation that's before you allows us to expend funds for the first 3 months of 2020, with final appropriations being adopted by April 1st. As Mr. Spiras mentioned, the temporary appropriations are identical to the 2020 budget that we reviewed in the workshop in June, and the legislation should go three readings.
Okay, thank you. Anyone have any questions? We'll move on.
Resolution 4919. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second, Mr. Spiras Jr.
Spiras Jr.?
Yes.
Spiras Sr.?
Yes.
Korfman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Resolution 4919. A resolution of the City of Oroville, Ohio, to enter into a culvert easement with Oroville DG LLC and Ohio Limited Liability Company for the purpose of maintenance and repair of an existing storm culvert and declaring an emergency.
Okay. Now, this, from what I heard ahead of time, would like to have been passed this evening, but we cannot do that because due to the number of members on council that are here. But we would like to have an explanation for sure.
Sure.
It's a building that's out behind the bank, out on High Street.
This is, the city has an existing culvert. I misspoke in the memo. I said 48 inches. It's actually 60 inches. It's a culvert that runs from Cherry Street, where the creek is, runs all the way across Cherry, under the parking lot at Orr Suds, and goes straight across diagonally across the Bueller's parking lot. Probably wouldn't even know it was there other than the culvert. The culvert is definitely, you can walk into, it's that big. Orville Dollar General is in the process of purchasing ore suds for construction of a new Dollar General. When they did their search of that property, they did not find an existing easement for us to access the culvert. And speaking to them, they've agreed to give us that easement. So that's what this is accepting the easement so that we have access to the culvert that we've had for, from my understanding, well over 50 years it's been there.
Any questions? Okay, since we are not able to pass that this evening, I would like to call a special meeting of Orville City Council to be Monday following the Utility Board meeting. Anybody have anything for the good of the order this evening? No?
I'm going to adjourn.
Thank you.
Excuse me, do you know what date that is?
That is the 25th.
25th.
I still need a second. Oh, we got two hands up. Mr. Larson, I'll pick you this time.
Aspera Sr.?
Yes.
Corkman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Aspera Jr.?
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for attending our meeting this evening. Our meeting is now adjourned.
You really are thinking about a long night here.
Well, tomorrow's different.